I know that was a lot, but there might be somebody who'd like to say or ask or comment or... So, oh, I see somebody who's wanting to speak.
Donna, thank you for your reflections and everything that you've shared with us today. I hope I wrote this down correctly, but I think you were looking for a Māori comment in regards to, you said something about the host dispossessed.
That was the idea in Derrydon for sure.
Yeah, and no longer king of the castle. Yeah, so... I think you did ask for a Māori opinion on that, so I'm here to give you one.
I would love it if you would say, is there something that, from a Māori perspective that you could say about that?
Yes. Okay. So let's start with the no longer king of the castle idea or that kind of thinking. I guess for us that fits with the evolutionary kind of ideas around survival of the fittest, right? So that for us is no more than the kind of dog-eat-dog kind of mentality, which doesn't fit with our own philosophical views and things like that. Okay, so in the sharing or in the hospitality, it's not about being dispossessed, it's about enhancing each other in the engagement. So mm-hmm. It's quite a very different view on that. So it's probably... I don't know if anyone else here wants to say something about that, but very quite different.
Well, I think that if Levinas had been, and Derrida had been with you, they never would have had to write this stuff.
That's what I was thinking while I was sitting at the back there. We already know this stuff, so I might just recommend to you one of our philosophers, and his name is Marty Marsden. Kia ora.
Yes, maybe I could get hold of that. I would love that.
Yeah, no, I think you'd appreciate it.
Thank you.
So much of it resonates really with a Māori view of hospitality. And I do think it's Rose Petty who talked about people who come to us and come to our practices, but particularly into our homes. We treat as they are gifts to us for us to enable us to exercise the gift of hospitality. So, for us, this is very deeply embedded in our culture, this notion of manaaki and manaakitanga, which I think is what you've been talking about, what you've been experiencing. And I just want to say to my psychotherapy colleagues, this comes to us really, I've been talking about this since I started my training in 2000. And in 2004, I wrote my master's dissertation focusing on six core relational concepts of traditional Māori society, of which manaakitanga is a core, central relationship. And when I was talking about it in terms of my work as an Indigenous psychotherapist, I often felt like there was a reception in the psychotherapeutic world that there was something not quite right with me in that exercise of manaaki, that I was wanting to rescue my client and myself from maybe the darker aspects of what was going on in their lives. But in terms of establishing what you talk about as this, this relationship, in terms of the establishment of a therapeutic relationship, it allows us to go places that we wouldn't otherwise be able to go together. Kia ora.
I couldn't agree with you more. I think that I couldn't agree with you more that if we are truly and profoundly hospitable, then all the darkness and the shame and the trauma and the hard and difficult things can then be present in the therapeutic process. But those, without that hospitality and generosity that you're talking about and that I'm trying to make valid in Western psychotherapy and make us unafraid to talk about, as you are unafraid to talk about it, then the patient feels that they have to leave so much of themselves at home, away, because they don't know that we can embrace all of them. As so often, shame is such an enormous factor that hospitality can begin to make people feel that all of them will gradually be welcome with us.
If they can hear.
I loved your talk. Shall I use that? I might have to shout. Kia ora, Donna. I loved your talk. I loved that sense of manaakitanga that my friend over here mentioned about before. And I guess, and I haven't studied this area at all, but just kind of off the top of my head, a couple of things have sprung up. One is, I think that, you know, when Tauiwi first came to our shores, I am sure that our tupuna welcomed them generally with open arms. And now here's the thing. With them came a kehua, or a spirit that was unseen. And I'm going to name that the crown. So our tupuna opened their hearts, their whenua, gave everything, shared off their back, everything they might have had. And they did exactly this beautiful thing of my home now is your home. And so I guess what I'm thinking about is the kehua or the benevolent kind of spirit that might turn up with a visitor. And we're not just talking about a physicality, we're talking about other things too. And so then my next question would be, so how, as clinicians, can we stay in that space where we remain receptive and, can I say, very giving, all of that kind of stuff, knowing that these other things could actually come to take us over? Sorry, my language is so small, but I haven't studied this area, so I don't have the right lingo for it.
But you said it very well. I have no right lingo for that this either. I think what the hospitality is a risk.
Yeah.
We may be taking in a terrorist. We may be taking in people who want to, who will hurt us and dominate us. And certainly, the same thing happened in our country to the indigenous peoples, who have mostly disappeared. It's terrible. Exactly the story you're telling. And occasionally, as clinicians, we extend our open-hearted and open-handed generosity and welcome to people who mistreat us badly. Probably every one of us can tell a story or two or more like that in the course of our clinical lives. We risk being mistreated if we work generously and hospitably, but the risk of not doing that seems even greater to me. And I think that that's what many of you would probably also say.
You read a novel written about that. I was lying on the couch and it was read in my
Urban Yalom.
A patient who had that less than positive intent towards their therapist.
Yes, and there's a and that's what this book about the renewal of generosity also says. He says, you know, that it's going. He's talking about doctors and how the risk of being more vulnerable, for example, with your patients when they're, for example, the patient who's you know, has a difficult frightening diagnosis, and the doctor you know, sort of delivers it and walks away instead of sitting there being hospitable and generous and really talking about death with the patient. You know, it's going to be really hard emotionally. The doctor takes a risk emotionally of sitting and being with the patient at that moment, and the patient may just say, you know, get away from me, I don't want you here at that moment. So you take a risk when you allow yourself to be generous and hospitable with people. You may get pushed away, you may get a rude and angry response, but look at the evil that you do by not taking that risk. And that's the kind of thing that this book that I was telling you about before I started, The Renewal of Generosity, is talking about, that there are risks both ways, and that we have to decide which risks we're going to take.
Addressed that very issue, that the way the practitioner responded to the patient,
we're ready now.
If he's not honest with them,
what
around
being
more
open? No. Yeah. Yes. This is a really Irving Alm is another guy like this, but this is a book that I highly recommend to if you really want to be thoughtful about. This is for medical practitioners, but the things he's talking about apply to all of us very, very much.
Yeah, I just want to say that we work with our father. We work with people that our father physiologically, we can link to things. Regardless of how bad their diagnosis or whatever it is, they're still our father. So we work with father. We don't think about them as clients. We don't think about them as patients. We don't think about them as things like that. We think about them as our family, our family, which is really, really different. But therefore, you know, you have the rotten kids and you have the good ones. And no matter how rotten they are, the monarchy has to go across. Not because generosity is like I said yesterday. It is nothing. That we never had generosity. We never had thank you. We never had sorry in our language, right? Because we did things, because we, it was chief on our co-op, that guided our thoughts and our actions into the way we behave with our whānau, no matter how rotten they were. Right? And we walked at their side and walked with them and manaaki them in every way, treating the four corners of their body, the four corners of their foundation, and working with that. And so I find it really difficult. Thank you for your cordial, because it was really upsetting. I'm going, oh wow, that's Tiaki. That's Tiaki Tama, that's Aroha, that's Manaaki, that's Kohiri Whakatau, that's all that is to Whakatau our whānau, to bring us back into the fold of the whānau tama, or the family. Right? No matter where they are, we could link to them, no matter what part of this country, or where the mother sees or what, I mean, not Māori, I can say, oh, where are you from? Go here. And I will find the link. The thing is that it's that link, that whakapapa, that opens my heart, that opens my kupu, that opens my hinewaro, that opens my waiwatanga to that whānau and to bring them home. So I just wanted to share that very strongly, because you're talking about a Māori way of life. That says we have no choice but to manaaki. You're just talking about it and discussing it. Beautiful. I'm so glad it's come.
Sounds good to me.
Okay. Donna has actually thanked us for being very hospitable to her, which I know is true. But she also told us a little story about her as a little girl, when at her home they weren't hospitable. And I just want to reflect on how hospitable your mind is now, Donna, to us. And you've created, I think, something really new in the audience in terms of cooperativeness and being able to speak to each other. So thank you so much, and I think we'd like to show your appreciation. Give to take back to New York.
Yeah.
Yes, she's coming.
You've got this.
Thank you very much.
You know, I've been running up and down during your kōrero, down to the healers and up here, and I've caught probably at the end the very spirit of what you've shared this afternoon, and it warms my heart. I think the essence and the spirit of probably what you've shared is absolutely in line with the spirit of this conference. And the words that I hear are about hospitality is manaakitanga, you know, from our world, what whaya hini wiranga he said, and the core of the foundations of that. So this taonga here is very precious within our world, and I say our world, I say te ao Māori, and in the world of Aotearoa, the whānau, it is a waka huia. A waka huia in our, from our people, is like a taonga, a treasure, and in there it carries and holds the taonga, eh? And this is a taonga for you. You know, we thought of, I asked whānau, what would she like, do you think? Would we share our greenstone from our whenua for you to take back to your country? And no, it didn't seem right, the taonga, something to wear. So this comes from Whakatāne, where I come from, my people up in Ngā Tiawa and Tūhoe. And it is a taonga for you to take home to remember us and your time here in Aotearoa. But particularly I wanted you to have something that was carved. Oh, that's a letter opener, by the way. Because you might sit this in your office and you'll see it all the time. And you will remember us every day.
Always, I will always remember you. Always.
Yeah, kia ora.
Thank you all so much. I don't know what to say.